God has made you unique. He has made you in such a way that God's work would be displayed in your life. Do you believe that? That He has placed you in your life circumstance for the glory of God, that He would be made known in you. He has gifted you in such a way, He has given you the neighbors, family, and friends along the way so that His work would be displayed in your life to them. We're going to be looking at the passage in John 9 about the man born blind. And I've looked at this passage a bunch of times, but God showed me, said, walk in these steps of the blind man. That He uses each one of us just like He used the blind man here. So we're going to do a dangerous thing. We're going to follow the lead of a blind man, and we'll see where God takes us. So if you would, turn into John 9. You can flip to that in your Bibles. There are Bibles below the seats there if you don't have one. God made you unique. He wants to display His power in your life to the people around you. You are His sons and daughter. He wants to speak to you. He wants to use you. He wants to make His name known through you. So let's look at John 9, 1 through 12. We'll start there. So as He went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked Him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground. He made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am that man. How then were your eyes open? They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. This happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Picture that. Put yourselves in that blind man's shoes. Hear what he hears. Feel what he feels. See the darkness that he's seen since he's been born. What do you smell, taste, and touch there? I'm going to read that passage to you again. Put yourself in that blind man's shoes. Go ahead and close your eyes, and I'll read that. What did it feel like to be that man? So as Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told them, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went, and he washed, and he came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who sit and begged? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open? They asked. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. "Go ahead and open your eyes." What did that feel like? What did you think when you were that man, and then Jesus is talking to his disciples, and you can overhear him, he can see you, and you can hear him? What did you think about that when he said, he absolved one of the questions probably of your whole life? What did I do that I'm born blind? Did my parents do something? That was the cultural thing that they understood. But Jesus said, no, this is so that the work of God might be displayed in him, in me. After a life of darkness, you meet a man that they call Jesus, and he says, "I am the light of the world." Boy, wouldn't he just give me some light? Wouldn't he bring light to my eyes? And then what does he do? He doesn't say anything. He doesn't say and call and all of a sudden you can see. He spits on the ground. Well, isn't this pleasant? Okay, he's spitting on the ground. He's going to smear this mud on my eyes. Great. Okay. And then he says, even after that, he put mud on the blind man's eyes, and then he said, "Hey, go find this pool in Siloam." Great, okay, so I'm going to have to walk, and I'm going to have to ask my way, and I'm going to have to try to find this pool and wash there. But does he say anything to Jesus? He doesn't. He listens, and he obeys, and he goes. That man had great faith. Jesus' power was displayed in his life. Jesus leads us too. He speaks to us today. Are we listening for him? And when he says something to us, will we obey? How will we respond to him? And when we do listen and obey and walk in faith, he is going to do a work in our midst. And then, at the right moment, we're going to see the full picture when we look at the part two of the story. So, God speaks today. He wants to speak to each one of you. He's spoken to you through the Word, even just this morning. His Word is alive and new. He speaks to your heart. He speaks to your mind. Are you listening and are you looking for him? Are you fervently listening, keeping your ears open, and seeing what he wants to speak to you? Do you listen and look for him with expectancy? This man in the story, he was in the posture of waiting. His whole life, he was waiting. He needed help. He would beg. He would sit there on the street, and he would listen and wait for somebody to help him. That's all he knew. And then here comes Jesus. While this man is waiting, Jesus comes and makes a mark in his life. When we're waiting, Jesus isn't very far away. He is close at hand to our hearts. So, even before Jesus talks to this man, he's listening, he's waiting. And even before he addresses him specifically, he is affirming him. He's building up his faith. Think of that as he's sitting on the ground waiting for somebody to help. He hears this. He's heard stories about this Jesus. He knows what he can do. And Jesus says, "I'm going to do a work in this man's life. I am the light of the world." That Jesus brings light to darkness. So even before he talked to this man, even before he sent him directions to go to the Pool of Siloam, he was building this man's faith. And then once Jesus spoke to the man didn't say anything. He just listened and obeyed. How many of you have a hard time doing that? I'll raise my hand. Somebody tells you, "Do this, just do this," and we'll tell Lainey this all the time. "Just go upstairs and wash your hands." Why? you know. I want to know the reason of why we do the things that we do. We just want to know why. But when God speaks, he's gracious enough that sometimes he answers that question, why? But we can trust him and just listen and obey, that he is faithful. He calls you his son and his daughter. He's not going to steer you wrong. But how do we respond? Do we obey? Do we have faith in what he says? We must have faith when he speaks. We must obey. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. If there's a passage that captures this, it's this passage right here. Faith is being sure of what you hope for. This man had a hope. He hoped that he could see. And he was certain of what he could not see because he was certain of Jesus and he could not see Jesus right in front of him. But he had faith that Jesus would do the work in him. Looking in a commentary from Beasley Murray, it says that Jesus' actions, that mud, and that command to go to the pool, helped the blind man's faith. It also served as evidence to all that Jesus was the one that healed him. In that time, as strange as it seems gross to me to have saliva you spit and then make mud with it. But there were some people who thought that saliva had some miraculous kind of healing quality. So even in that, he uses his saliva. That doesn't heal him, but that might aid this man's faith. It's something familiar. He knows what the dirt is. He knows the mud. And even that, I see the picture of when Paul was blind, and it says when he received his sight, the scales fell off of his eyes. This man, he washed in the pool, and that mud fell off of his eyes, and he could see. And I think, too, of this idea of washing, of healing, makes me think of Naaman in the Old Testament in 2 Kings. He wanted to know, why am I going to this water? Why am I going to this dirty river? There's better water where I'm from, and I'm supposed to dip 7 times. What's that opportunity that God gives us to walk with him, walk in faith, that Naaman wasn't healed until that 7th time he went down, but that Jesus asks us to walk with him, to have faith, and to do these things. He welcomes us into the process. He wants us to walk deeper with him, to have more intimacy with him, to walk by faith. When we face the unknown, like this man did, when we are in the dark, we must seek out the voice of God. And when we hear it, we must have faith in what he says. We must walk with faith. And we see what he does. He's healed. So what does this man do once he's healed? Flip back to John 9. Let's look at part 2 of this passage. I'm going to jump around a few things. We're going to highlight and focus on this man who was born blind. So in verse 15, we're going to look at it starting out. So they brought him to the Pharisees. And in verse 15, the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed and now I see. In verse 17, they turned again to the blind man. What do you have to say about him? It was your eyes that opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. Let's jump to verse 24. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? The man's thinking, I've told you already, what's the deal here? The story is not going to change here. He answered, I have told you already, and you do not want to listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple? We are the disciple of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Then the Pharisees threw him out. And in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found them, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I might believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. God did a mighty work in his midst. Any time, though, that the Lord speaks, that he does a work in your midst, it's an opportunity to share, to point people to Jesus. This man didn't say, "Hey, everyone, interview me. I'm the star of the show. Let me show you how good I have of eyesight. Here, show me a chart, and I'm going to read down all of the letters here that I can see." It wasn't about him. He pointed to Jesus. He said, "Do you want to be a disciple too?" Well, of course, they didn't want that. But he showed that he is a disciple. He is less, Jesus is greater. He was pointing people to Jesus. He put the focus on Jesus. He pointed to him as his healer, postured him as a disciple, and wasn't the main attraction. Can you imagine? He even pointed the Pharisees to Jesus, and the Pharisees, they were having none of it. They wanted to know how this happened, but they were having a hard time understanding why would Jesus do this in such a way. It was on the Sabbath, though, so they wanted to keep the Sabbath holy, and they have all of their rules and regulations, and making mud was kind of like kneading bread according to the rules, so they were like, no, anybody godly would not do this. They would not heal this person in that way on the Sabbath. But even the man born blind, he doesn't have the full picture yet. He doesn't even know Jesus personally. He's heard his voice, but he said the man they call Jesus, he knows enough. And so he points to them. He says, "Isn't that remarkable?" What isn't remarkable, he doesn't say, "Isn't it remarkable that I was blind and now I can see?" He says, "Isn't it remarkable that you don't know where this guy came from? He did such this awesome work. He did this amazing thing. And God doesn't listen to sinners. He only listens to someone godly, someone from God. If he wasn't from God, he could do nothing." How powerful is that? Just in that instance that God works in his midst and he shares. He shares as much as he knows. And then Jesus is faithful. He's faithful to us as well. That he doesn't just leave it there. He doesn't just renew this guy's body. He renews his heart as well. He gives him the fuller picture. So we listen to him. He listened to Jesus and obeyed. He responded in obedience. God did that work, and now God is giving him a fuller picture of what's going on here. After obedience and faith, Jesus shows more of himself to us as well, that we can grow in deeper intimacy with him. Isn't it amazing when you look back sometimes and look at what he has done? You can share with people that fuller picture that Jesus isn't just a man who heals and is somebody godly. He is the Son of Man. He is where salvation itself comes from. It was no longer the man that they called Jesus. It is my Lord and my God. And he worshiped him. He fell down at his feet. I think sometimes we don't see the full picture of what that word worship means. This means to kiss and to kneel down before. He was falling at his feet and kissing and weeping Jesus' feet, just like Mary did in the Bible as well. This had an amazing effect on him. And God gave him that full picture. So that's kind of the process. That's kind of the journey that we see over and over in our life. Have you seen that cycle, those stages in your life? That when we sit and when we listen and when we wait with expectancy, God will speak. And if he speaks, then we have a choice. Are we going to listen and obey? Or are we going to say, no, you know, I don't want to do that, or maybe later? What will we do? Will we walk in obedience and by faith? And when we do that, God will work in our midst. Sometimes it might not be exactly how we wanted it to go, but he will work in our midst, that he has our best interest in mind. And then in his good and perfect time, he'll give us a better understanding of what's going on. He'll give us a better picture of his heart, and he will change our hearts. He will bring us closer in intimacy with him. Makes me think, I've been reading in Exodus of Moses, and Moses walked through this cycle. So he's in the desert, he's a shepherd for 40 years, and he's listening, he's waiting. That's a long time to wait. That is a long time to wait. And then he sees this burning bush. But the burning bush wasn't really something that really jumped out to him. But when he saw that it wasn't burning and wasn't being consumed, he was like, there's something going on here. So his eyes were open to see what God was doing. What is this thing? And God speaks to him. And yes, he asked plenty of questions. He asked why, but he listened, he obeyed, and he responded in faith. And out of that faith, we see God work in his midst, that among Pharaoh, he does all of these miracles, these plagues, that the power of God is revealed. And then God parts the sea for him. And then he lays flat his enemies. God works in his midst. And he gives Moses a fuller picture of who he is. One, on the mountaintop, he receives the commandments. He receives the law. He sees God's face, or he sees the back of God because he can't see God's face. And his face glows because he knows God so well. And then in his last days, he's able to stand on the mountain. He's able to see the promised land. And he's able to see that God would save and restore the people to the promised land. It's that cycle of listening, obeying, seeing God work, and then letting God fill in the gaps of speaking to your heart and seeing that fuller picture. It is that same process today with us. Where are you in that process? What stage are you in? In your life's journey, are you at a posture that you can listen and wait? You can fervently wait and listen for his voice to see what he wants you to know. Or maybe he's spoken something to you and you're at that place of what is my response from here? Will I listen? Will I walk in faith and be in obedience? Have you seen him yet work in your midst? Do you recall the times in your life that he has worked, that he has done something mighty and powerful, something meaningful in your heart? And then has he shown you his heart? Has he given you a fuller picture of what is going on in your heart, in your life, and in the world today? So where are you in life's journey? Well, for my family, in this journey of the transition with ACC, we're in this obedience stage. God's called us to step down from ACC, that our ministry here is ending. So we heard him speak, and he says, now are you going to listen and obey? And are you going to walk by faith? Because there's no greener pastures, no other ministry that we're going to. But will we obey? And so we are walking that out with him, that we are obeying, that we want to see him work in my family's midst and work in the midst as well at ACC. So we're waiting, we're listening, and we're looking for his leading in the future. But we want you to know, Annie and I, that we do see hope here. We see that if you fervently listen to Jesus, that he will speak, that he is faithful to work in your midst, and we see great things here, that ACC is here for the lost people around you. We want to see your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers come to Jesus. We want you to know personally the voice of God and to follow him. That if we listen, the Holy Spirit will guide you and he will do a mighty work, that he will make you fruitful. But in this time, for my family, we just want to say we're so very grateful for you, that we have enjoyed our time here. We have learned so much, and we are thankful for all of you and grateful for all of you. But I encourage you, just as my family is, listen to God intently. And when he says something, obey and trust God that he will work in the midst. And we'll look for the fuller picture. But praise be to God that he knows the plan. He knows the ways. And he wants to work mightily in this church. So I'm thankful that I was part of that story of the church here at ACC. And I'm anxious to see what he does in the future in your hearts and your circles and as the church as a whole. Let me pray for us. Lord, I thank you that you have crafted us, that you have created us, your sons and daughters, that your work might be displayed in our hearts, in our lives. So, Lord, I pray that your works would be displayed in my heart, in my life, and also in the life of ACC. Lord, I thank you for what you are calling us to, that you are calling us to your mission. And we can't do it by ourselves, by our own strength, but it is through the Holy Spirit within us that you will power us to accomplish your mission, that everyone will be reconciled to you. Would we be faithful to that call? Lord, I pray that you would give us hearts, give us the minds to work interdependently with one another, that we would work as a team. Thank you that we are all your body, that you use each person, that you have gifted them and crafted them to bring you glory, to point people to you. So, Lord, I pray for faithfulness. I pray for strength and courage, that we would walk out these days listening for your voice. Without you, Lord, we can do nothing. So, Lord, would you have your way in us? In your name, amen.